welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Or maybe you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the places. Hey, hello, welcome. We are a radio show podcast that started from our journeys with infertility and miscarriage and child loss and just the loneliness and realizing how important community is and really truly leaning on God and not just the self-help books, you know. So we needed that. And Ann and I were so blessed to get to start this community. And you guys have encouraged us for years. We love to hear your prayer requests, your praise reports. You can email us at hannahsheart@afa.net so that we can encourage you. And we appreciate your prayers for us as well. In fact, Anne wants to give a special shout out to one really special Hannah's Heart supporter over the years.
Thank you, Kendra. I wanted to say thank you so much for, all of our listeners, but a special thank you in honor and in memory of our Aunt Angie, my Aunt Angie. She was a huge supporter of the show. She would call me and tell me about different things she loved to listen to and that she learned about our family. She even heard the episode where I said we didn't have any pictures from the funeral. And she said, hold on, I heard on the show today that you didn't have any photos from the funeral, and I didn't know if you would want me to send them to you, but she sent probably 30 pictures from John Micah's funeral and the graveside. And so she, as of the day of this recording, she passed away last night. And so I can't help but think about her meeting a special three-year-old little boy in heaven now. And so anyway, thank you all for listening, and thank you, Aunt Angie. We love you, and I can't wait to see you again one day.
That's precious, Anne. Thanks for sharing that. And thank you for all of our awesome supporters that are here. Today, if you happen to be watching online on YouTube or Facebook or anywhere that you can see, we do have a Zoom call. We've recently introduced Zoom to the show.
Yeah, it's new.
So we have a special guest, and I'm going to let Anne give you that introduction.
Yes, we have someone I've known for a long time, Joy. I would say we're friends now, but you were really my Disciple Now leader. And you and Tiffany, y'all, I thought y'all were so cool. Y'all, I think one of my first trips to Starbucks was with you. So thank you very much for that introduction. But we have on Joy Duncan, and you're going to come on today to share about, I mean, really, like, so many things that you've walked through with your life. And infertility, or delayed fertility, is that part of your story?
It's not.
Okay.
It was later in life.
Later in life. Okay.
You know, just it's after, you know, being in a very long season of singleness and then getting married.
Girl, I feel that.
Kendra identifies.
And I had always said, like, after the age of 35, that I wasn't going to have children. Wow. And then I met my husband and had this precious little one at 38. So never say never. And the Lord definitely is like, haha, joke's on you. I joke and say that I'm pretty sure I give God laughs. Every single day.
And for those of you that can't see the video, spoiler alert, her miracle baby's in her arms right now, beautifully being rocked. And we're going to get into his story in a little bit, but just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, he's in that season of contact nap.
Mama.
Soak it up, mama.
I know, it's crazy how fast that time goes away. And then you're all of a sudden like, are you sure you don't want to lay on me?
So can I ask how old you were when you got married?
Yes, I was 36.
Girl, I feel you on the marrying later in life and God throwing some, like, okay, surprises. So 36. And at that point, you had thought babies were probably not a part of your story.
I'm going to be very honest with you. I didn't think I was going to get married. Mm-hmm. This is completely a whole different story, and I don't want to go on a tangent about it, but, I battled a lot with the mm-hmm. Lord, during singleness, because I did everything that I was told to do.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are a single person in the church. It was a practice, like, through assignment through my therapist, that I actually met my husband.
Wow.
And yeah, we met on a dating app, and the only reason I swiped was because he had kind eyes.
Oh,
I was only on that app to get me more comfortable talking after I'd had my heart just obliterated. So yeah. And our first conversation was 7 hours. My husband, we've lived two very, very different lives. He enlisted in the military right out of high school because all he wanted to do was serve our country. And
thank him for his service.
He got married very early, very young, had two daughters very young. And that first marriage, obviously, it did not work out. And so I asked him a very hard question, the first question I ever asked him when we started talking, and he told me everything. And then we have literally been together ever since. And I couldn't imagine anybody else.
Yeah.
For me, we are sunshine and like not sunshine. Like we are night and day different, but he is wonderful. So
glad opposites attract. We've always heard that. So tell us, so infertility not being part of your story, but you got married later, and then you were possibly thinking, we probably just won't have babies possibly, but then you did. So tell us about that. You do get pregnant, and I'm sure you're thinking like, yes, I did do everything right.
Was that a surprise pregnancy?
Thank you very much.
Or a tried for pregnancy?
It was a tried for.
Okay.
We planned.
Okay.
So, let me just say this. I've always been very maternal.
Mm-hmm.
I love loving other people. I love serving other people. And I have lots of nieces and nephews that I have loved on, and I have discipled a lot of people, in churches and done different things. Because I was older, I just did not see myself having children. And it wasn't necessarily a desire that I had until I met my husband and saw him and how he was. So his daughters are 18 and 15 now.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the way he interacted with the girls. And we have three dogs, and those are my babies. I saw the way that he was with our dogs, and I was like, you know, we would have a really cute baby. We before we got married, we talked about, you know, being married for a year and then trying. And I want to be very sensitive when I say this, because I do understand that your audience is probably comprised of a lot of people that battle infertility, and, you know, baby loss, things like that. That was not something we walked through. I got pregnant 3 months later after we started trying. I don't know how. I don't,
sure.
I mean, honestly, well, I mean, I know how, but like, I don't know, like, you know.
It's okay that is a thing. I mean, like, that's something you had to praise the Lord for, and like, you've had other battles that we're going to learn about today that, you know, you have walked through that other people listening have not.
So we're coming up on a year of me finding out that I was pregnant.
Okay.
So I found out August 12th, 2025. I found out at 4 weeks pregnant.
Wow.
And it was at my primary doctor, because I was seeing him for some other medicine, and I was like, we should probably, you know, do a pregnancy test. And so his nurses, and this is why I love being from Mississippi and being from a small town in Mississippi, because like, I went to high school with my doctor's kids, and like,
everybody knows everybody.
Everybody knows everybody. And they were the ones that told me I was pregnant, and like, I squalled, and like, they have gotten baby Andy updates from the get go.
Yeah. Okay. So we find out about pregnancy. Mm-hmm. But then as we get, I can't remember because I was trying to keep up with you on Facebook and like your story. And as you announced you were pregnant, and then all of a sudden it became like some hard announcements after that.
Yeah.
How did we get there? How far along were you?
So we found out at 18 weeks and 5 days that Andy had an open neural tube defect, which is spina bifida.
Wow.
And he has myelomeningocele spina bifida. And that was November the 18th, 19th, one of those. It was the Friday before Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And I will never forget this because it was my first appointment with this doctor here in Jackson, because I had been seeing one in Starkville, because that's where I lived. And I will forever love her. I will forever go to her because of how she handled this. And she walked into the room and she said, "We found something on your anatomy scan, but before I say anything, I want you to know that this is not your fault."
Oh, wow.
And then she said, "I'm going to write down what this is. I do not want you to Google it, but I've already texted the maternal fetal medicine doctors in the Jackson area to get you in, hopefully today."
Wow.
Wow. That gives me chills.
I just got chills thinking about it. I love this woman. And then I also have a God wink because her nurse is literally a sister-in-law to a friend of mine from college.
Wow.
And we didn't realize until later. I have a lot of God winks through this whole story. But yeah, so we went to the MFM that Monday at 8 a.m. where they confirmed the spina bifida and confirmed that he did have what they thought was going to be club feet. Which is a comorbidity with spina bifida.
Okay.
So that weekend, I told y'all before we started rolling that my mom literally came down the day we got our diagnosis because I was losing my mind.
That's very hard.
And it is very hard. I still struggle with like that day and that week after because it was just a blur. I didn't know. I did not Google it. I chat GPT'd it.
That is better, but still.
And I kept like trying to convince myself that weekend that it was not seen correctly. Like everything's fine. But my family, I have family that live in Orlando, and I'm really close with my cousin. She's like an older sister to me. And I texted her and I said, "Hey, like, be in prayer about this. We just found this out." And she called me and she said, "If it's confirmed, you're not going anywhere else, but you're coming here." Like our hospital down here does the surgery. You know, my boss's granddaughter had it. You know, everything's worked out very well for her. And I was like, okay. At this point, it's like a blur. So we go to the MFM on Monday. They confirm it. And they were incredible. They were so gentle with me. And so kind, and because it was my husband, my mother, and myself in the room, and of course, you know, I break down, and and we'll talk about how you find out about spina bifida and all of that in just a second. But they said you are a candidate for fetal surgery, and I was like, fetal surgery,
scary.
And they were like, yeah, you know, you can have surgery while still pregnant. And I was like, oh, and they're like, well, we typically send people to Texas because we don't do this surgery here. And I love Mississippi. I'm a very proud Mississippian. I love living here. But, you know, sometimes we don't have access to the most cutting edge medical practices. Yeah. And so I look at them and I said, well, what about Orlando? I said, I have family in Orlando. We have a support system. You know, they had a connection with the hospital. You know, and they were like, that's fine if that's where you want to go. And I was like, that's where I want to go because we could stay with them, all of that. If we were going to Texas, we wouldn't have had any of that.
Right.
So they sent the referral. My cousins had a very strong connection to the hospital and they had literally called and already prepped them for our referral.
Wow.
So we got in the week after Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving happened. We left, went to Orlando beginning of December. And that's when we had to have an amniocentesis. They did another scan just to make sure. And I mean, they went in depth, made sure that everything, you know, checking his heart, everything. Then we had genetic counseling, where they were just seeing if it potentially ran in our family. It doesn't. What was really interesting was they don't necessarily know why he has spina bifida, because all of the things that they say could be attributed to it. Like, we were already like taking precautions for that. So, it was just very interesting. And I'm like, well, you know, the Lord planned it. Like, this isn't a surprise to him.
Yeah.
And so we went through the testing all throughout the month of December. The amniocentesis that we did, and if you don't know what that is, it's where they stick a very long needle into your amniotic fluid and they draw some out and they test that. And that confirmed the spina bifida because his spinal fluid was leaking into my amniotic fluid. But everything else genetic wise was perfect for him.
And this is not the in utero procedure you mentioned yet, correct?
No.
Okay.
No.
That's just testing.
I wish it would have been that easy. Okay. Cause even though amnio is not easy, but I wish. Yeah.
Yeah.
So once all that came back, then I had to go through a psych evaluation to make sure that I was okay to go through the surgery.
Wow.
We had to have a fetal echocardiogram. So we had to go through that. We had to have a fetal MRI. There's a lots of things they have to check off.
Why a psych evaluation? Is it just really that traumatizing?
Yes.
That it's really, the procedure is so traumatizing that they
It is. It's not just traumatizing. It's a lot.
Wow.
You know, you think about you're putting your life, your unborn child's life, you know, at risk. You're also like, there was a chance of me waking up not coming out of the hospital.
Wow. Scary.
Which is why they wait. So we found out at 18 weeks. We didn't have surgery until 25 weeks and 3 days.
Wow.
Because they wait as long as they can for viability, because there is a chance of your child being born. We found out the week of Christmas. We thought that Andy was not going to have any like movement or anything from his knees down. And then we had an ultrasound and he wiggled his toes right before Christmas. And that I squalled.
Yeah.
Literally like,
squalled. What an answered prayer.
And then they called and offered the surgery and they said, you have to take 24 hours or you have to take the night to think about it before you give me an answer. Well, mind you, in December, when I met with the fetal surgeon and the baby Andy's neurosurgeon, I told them straight off the bat, I said, I don't care about me. You do whatever you have to do to take care of my baby. Mm-hmm. Like, he didn't ask for this. Like, I want what's best for him. I do not care about me. And his neurosurgeon, I held it together during all the initial consults until his neurosurgeon looked at me and said, I'm not your doctor. I'm your baby's doctor.
Wow.
And that's my baby. And I started crying and he grabbed my hand and he said, we are going to take care of your baby.
Mm.
And like, we're going to do everything we can for him.
Wow.
And they are forever, like, will forever be etched in our, like, in my
family.
Heart. Like, I love them so much. We're actually going to go see them soon so they can meet him. And they've literally gotten pictures because I send updates. So we were offered the surgery and they told me to wait to take the night to think about it. But he said, and our fetal surgeon was the one that called me. It wasn't his nurse. It was not a patient coordinator. It was the actual surgeon. And he said, I already know what your answer is going to be, but I'm telling you to take the night to think about it. And I said, okay. So
I'll talk to you in the morning.
I was like, I'll call the nurse. I'll call Diane in the morning. So I literally 8 o'clock the next morning called and I said, okay, I slept on it. Let's go. And so we were the first fetal surgery of 2026 at Winnie Palmer Hospital in Orlando.
Wow.
And it was about a 4.5 hour surgery where they literally, I don't know how in depth I can get, but, I was in an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh,
I'm going to be very honest.
Wow.
Where because of, I had an anterior placenta, so they had to literally take my uterus out of my body.
Oh my.
And
God.
We call it a butt day. And they rotate the baby and his butt came out, and they fixed his lesion and put my uterus back in.
That is wild.
they break your water, so they replace your amniotic fluid with, and so they replace it with like antibiotic. I was in ICU for 5 days. I had an epidural that was for two days. I also was on a magnesium drip for 2 days.
Oh my word. Is this like a C-section cut? Is that what?
Oh yeah, girl.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, he was basically birthed twice. So we call January 7th is his butt day. and so then we were at the Ronald McDonald House right outside the hospital after I got discharged from the ICU, literally the day before my birthday. Mm-hmm. And Anne has known me for a long time, and I love my birthday. Okay? and I kept telling my nurses that I wanted to be out. I did not want to be in the ICU on my birthday. But I got up, I was walking around like,
wow,
we healed up very, very well. And he did very well. And then we were in the Ronald McDonald House because we had to have multiple doctor's appointments. The first 2 weeks after surgery are very critical.
Wow.
And so the reason we chose to do the surgery was because of the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Spina bifida is exposed nerves, in utero. And so the longer that those nerves are exposed to amniotic fluid, the more damage that happens.
Wow.
The statistics and the numbers are what they are, but went from, if you wait until he's born to have the surgery, it's a 40% chance that he could have a normal life.
Oh, wow.
But if you have fetal surgery, that jumps to like 80%.
Wow.
Wow.
And I looked at my husband and I was like, I can't.
We got to give him this chance.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my husband was like, Joy, this is your decision. I was like, well, it's our decision. I was like, but my decision is we're going to do whatever we have to for this baby.
Yeah.
And you know, whatever his normal is going to look like, we want to give him the best chance that there is. And so we did have a couple of scares. We were in the Ronald McDonald House because little man decided he wanted to float on down and get ready to be born.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah. So that is why I got put on strict bed rest. I was going to be on like a mild bed rest, but because he moved all the way down, I'll spare you all the rest of that. Mm-hmm. But I had to lay flat.
For how many weeks?
11.
Wow. So he stayed for 11 weeks. That's amazing.
Yeah.
After that procedure. Wow.
The goal was to get him to 37 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the average fetal surgery baby is born at 34 weeks.
Okay.
So we made it to 36 weeks in 2 days.
Wow.
So we were in
Good
Orlando.
Good job, Mama. That's awesome.
That's a lot of hard work on your back.
Listen, it's a lot of prayer and a lot of me giving myself, like, you can do this, like, stay in there. The amount of anxiety and the amount of just fear.
Which, by the way, we have about 2 minutes left, but I want to make sure what
talk too much.
No, we want to hear all of this. What would you say to anyone who's in the middle of a journey like this about God's love and ability to sustain you? If you could sum it up.
The Lord is so omniscient and omnipresent that he goes before you. He has planned everything out. This is not a surprise to him. Though it might be a surprise to you and it's scary to you, it's not to him. He went before you and prepared a way, and he is walking right there, right beside you. And I saw so many different ways of how he did that for us in this whole entire process that I told people, I don't know how you don't acknowledge the presence of the Lord.
Yeah.
Like I can see things from 20 years ago that he started preparing me for this journey with my son. With him being medically complex, like my mom has been chronically ill since I was a freshman in college. And I've dealt with lots of doctors, lots of specialists with her, because I've been the one that's walked that with her the most, besides like my dad and my siblings. I've been the one that's been at every surgery in the hospital with her, advocating for her, that now I'm going to have to do that for him.
But when you see God's faithfulness throughout your whole life, you know he's going to be faithful again. And with just one more minute left, I just want to say, your journey's not over. You still have some more trust in God. Can you give us of course, you have Miracle Baby. He's here. What's his name?
Yeah.
What did you call him?
Andrew Carter is his name. We call him Baby Andy.
Oh, my word.
No, his journey is not over. It's really just getting started. We are about to actually leave in 3 days from this filming to go to West Palm Beach, Florida, to like the world's leader in atypical foot deformities.
Wow.
Andy does not have club feet. He was born with his top of his feet touching his shins. And so the doctors here, though wonderful, did not really have a good plan. And my husband and I both, agreed that we wanted to search something out. So we're actually leaving. We're going to be down there for at least a month while he gets casted. He might have to have a procedure. We just don't know yet. And so we're going to be down there and getting him treatment for his special feet.
And we're calling that Miles for Andy. That's what people can search to see how to support y'all. And I will link that in the show notes, but that is on Facebook.
A GoFundMe. Okay. For anyone that wants to support and be a part of the continued journey of God showing his faithfulness and love, because he will do it. Thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart.